On this particular day, Stephen Fox had no idea that his past was about to catch up with him again. He was rushing through the apartment, packing for a business trip, while his wife Judith had decided it would be a good time to dust the bookshelves.
Is that really necessary, Judith?
What? Dusting the bookshelves while you run around the apartment like a headless chicken? At least I won't be in your way.
First, I'm not running around like a headless chicken. I'm looking for the red folder with the documents for Video World Dispatcher.
Isn't it in your study?
Would I be asking you if that's where it was?
No, I suppose you wouldn't.
And second, you know damn well that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, well, let me think. It wouldn't be because you're jealous, is it?
I'm perfectly entitled to feel a little uneasy when my wife heads off to meet her ex-lover while I'm going to visit my parents, aren't I?
Look, Imee's married. He's got 3 kids. He's only in the States this week. We'll have lunch. We'll talk about times gone by. That's all.
Times gone by. Oh, yeah. That's the part I'm so uneasy about. Is that so hard to understand?
You're cute when you're jealous. You know that.
Thank you. Hope you're enjoying the show.
Wait. I just thought of something.
What?
Weren't you talking to the programmers in Bangalore yesterday in the dining room while I was taking a shower? And then I came out?
Yeah, I remember.
I think I may have distracted you.
That's one way to put it. You were completely naked.
Well, if I were you, I'd look for that folder right where you left it before you dragged me into the bedroom.
Imee Mazur had barely changed in the years since Judith had seen him last. Slender, broad-shouldered, physically fit, still no less handsome. He had arrived early and already finished half a cup of coffee when Judith arrived. He stood up when he saw her, touched her elbows, gave her a quick kiss on the cheek.
The coffee in the States is awful, but the bagels look pretty good here. If you want to get something proper to eat, we could go somewhere else later on.
I'll think about it.
She ordered a cappuccino. Imee leaned forward, not wasting any time on chit-chat. He never did.
Judith Menzies Fox. So you got married?
You know I did. I sent you a card.
Really? I must have lost it. Pity. But thank you for thinking of me.
He kept asking questions, and she told him the basics. About her work, getting adjusted to life in the States. About Stephen.
How about you? Still with the army?
Sort of. I'm working for the Department of Defense.
There was something about the way he said it, his crooked smile, that set off a little alarm bell in Judith's head. Maybe they weren't here just to chat about old times. Maybe he wasn't even trying to get her into bed. She took a sip of her cappuccino, then leaned forward.
Someone once told me that that's what you have to say when you're actually working for Mossad.
Bullseye. She could see it in his eyes. She knew him too well for him to be able to fool her. And he knew it.
Please, don't use that word, okay?
Did you come to recruit me as an informer?
We call them Cyan. And there's nothing wrong with it. We're just trying to safeguard our country.
It's okay. But do I really strike you as the James Bond type?
Nobody's expecting you to. They don't even expect that from me.
Pity. I'd always wanted to see the inside of an Aston Martin.
Look, there are thousands of Cyanim all over the world. Jews who live abroad, plenty of them aren't even Israeli citizens. That's how we make do with such a small staff.
Now you almost said it yourself. The M word.
You always did addle my brain.
And you always bit around the bush instead of telling me what you really want from me.
Look, the Cyanim are just a pool of people that we can contact if and when we need them. One might have a hotel where he can put up some people without filling out paperwork. Another might have a rental car business if we need a car in a hurry without complications. Or a doctor who can treat someone who's been shot without the authorities finding out. A Cyan just does what he normally does. There's no operative risk. And they don't get any secret information. But they may help save lives.
How could someone like me be of any use to you? I'm a freelance curator for Buddhist art. If I hadn't married a man who made his first million at the age of 19, I'd probably... Wait a minute.
Yes?
That's it, isn't it? That's why you came to see me.
Your husband works in IT. He has access to the data of all kinds of companies.
And all this time I thought you were acting as if you didn't know anything about him.
I had to approach the subject carefully, didn't I? Judith, your parents live in Israel. Your brother lives in Israel. Israel is surrounded by enemies who would love to finish what Hitler started. We're trying to prevent that. Here is my card.
Aimi Mazur, journalist. What is this logo? A rock magazine?
Yes, it is. All I ask is that perhaps someday I might ask you to ask him to obtain certain data. Like I said, only if it really becomes necessary. Someday.
Samuel Baron, the son of a shopkeeper from Richmond, Virginia, was one of the richest men in the world, but only few were aware of this fact. He never showed off his wealth in an ostentatious way, and the family estate, seen from the street, only presented a humble white metal gate. Samuel was now in his 60s and walking with a cane because of a knee injury, and yet he never tired of planning and managing multiple businesses at once. His son, Michael, had come to him late in life and was now only 15. Michael was everything Samuel could wish for in a son, smart, well-behaved, and as God-fearing as Samuel himself.
Ah, there you are, Michael. I've been looking for you.
Yes, Dad?
I want you to join us today.
You mean at the big meeting?
Mm-hmm. You're 15 now. You're old enough, and it's time you knew about these matters. Now hurry. This may just be the most important day of your life so far.
I had often heard about these meetings, just bits and pieces, hints of what was discussed, and only after the fact. I had always been fascinated by their mystery.
You may all be wondering why I asked you here today, and with such urgency. Let me begin with a confession. I confess that not so long ago, I have begun to doubt God's wisdom and his plan for me.
I could hardly believe what my father was saying. He was the most pious man I had ever known.
But then God showed me otherwise.
Samuel Baron raised a remote control and pressed a few buttons. A screen slid down from the ceiling, the windows were dimmed, and a projector hummed to life. The image on the screen showed the cover of an old edition of a weekly business magazine. A man in a dark blue suit, with the arrogant, even aggressive look of a top manager posing for a portrait, looking to impress his peers. The headline read, John Conn, Manager of the Year.
Years ago, I invested a significant amount in Conn Enterprises, owner of a major news network. But it wasn't profit I was after. Perhaps you remember this man, John Conn, an up-and-coming entrepreneur, billionaire on talk shows in the gossip columns, the kind of man I would ordinarily make an effort to avoid.